I want to give you something that I deal with all the time in the ministry. The question I get asked, and you're going to think this is crazy. It's simple, but who is God? I get asked that a lot as far as from a biblical standpoint. Who is God? And I want to, if you would, go to Exodus chapter 15. And you say, what in the world? We already know who God is, and I understand that, but just stay with me for a few minutes, young people. Who is God? And I'd like to say, while you're turning to Exodus chapter 15, also grab Psalms chapter 98. Exodus chapter 15, and appreciate you supporting us and having us and staying with us, amen, all these years. And it is a joy to always come here because you folks like preaching. And it's an easy place to preach. And of course, Brother Jerry's a real blessing. He's a fine gentleman. I think he writes some of the finest youth books that's ever been written. And I've put them out all over the country. And I've preached everything he's wrote in those books. In fact, I've come here and preached some of his messages back to y'all. And I don't know if y'all realize it or not. I figure you need to hear it again, amen. I think that stuff's good stuff, man. It's wonderful stuff. And a lot of folks don't want to hear it anymore, especially when you deal with courting and all those kind of things. Old independents are starting to change, amen. Touch still means touch. That book still says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And there's a reason for that. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every wife have her own. O-W-N. It's personal. Just one wife. Leave everybody else's alone, amen. And you shouldn't have to say that, but we're living in a country nowadays where some of these guys are starting to teach that it just got to do with the context of a relationship and stuff. Now, I don't believe that. The book of Proverbs, and you ought to read your Proverbs every day. You ought to go through them at least once a month or twice a month, really. And I really believe that. That book still says over Proverbs, talk about a neighbor's wife, whoso toucheth her shall not be innocent. Shall not, N-O-W, not be innocent. Now, this preacher still believes that stuff, amen. And it ain't going to help you at all, amen. If you're a red-blooded man, keep your hands off the ladies, amen. You'll get your day in court, amen. Just wait on God and find your own wife, your own husband, and go have yourself a ball and serve God. But until then, do it right, amen. And so anyhow, Exodus chapter 15, I'm going to read verse 11. Look what Moses says here. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Amen. Look at Psalms 98. Now, Moses tells us, he asked him a question. Who is like unto thee? And look over at Psalms 98. Psalms chapter 98. Psalms chapter 98, and I think it's, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, now God's going to start describing himself. David's talking here, his physical parts, his body. His holy arm hath gotten him the victory, okay? Let's turn to Joshua 24. Back up just a little bit. Joshua, Judges, Joshua chapter 24. Going to turn just to a few places and just give you a couple simple thoughts about who is God. And of course, we're going to take it from his book because this is an eternal book. This book is alive, and it's the very foundation that you must be built upon. And this book is the book. I don't call it the King James Version. I call it the King James Bible. Amen. The KJB. And it's still the book. And anyhow, don't waste your time on that other stuff, you know. These preachers, there's some of them here in town. They all telling their kids right now in Sunday school all across Jasonville, they'll over there, they'll tell them that the fourth man in the fire in Daniel chapter 3. See, I can't stay on point. There's so many things with young people in front of me. You know, y'all probably were taught, even if this is your first time here, I don't know your backgrounds, but more than likely somewhere along the way, your grandma or grandpa or some kind of an influence or somebody, heard it, has told you, I don't know whether it came from a Catholic, Methodist, or an Episcopal, or the Church of God, or whoever, or a Baptist, or a Southern Baptist, or an American Baptist out west, or, you know, whatever flavor you want to pick. Most of them teach got them tattooed in their foreheads. You ought to just, you know, them round things you stick on your phone, you can pull it out and put your hand on the back of it. You ought to just put them on the foreheads of people. And just, might be the mark of the beast for all I know. Thinking cell phones, man. They're straight out of hell as far as I'm concerned, amen. They'll knock the Holy Ghost power out of you. I know we got to have them, I got one. But if it has you, you got a problem. A lot of folks don't need a husband or wife. They've already got one in the form of a cell phone. They spend all their time with it, amen. That wasn't in the message. I need to stay off of it. But anyhow, so they're using books, you know. And I get off on that King James Bible. And same thing with David and Goliath. All y'all were taught that Goliath was killed by David, but all those new Bibles in 2 Samuel 21:19 says that it was the Layla hand that killed Goliath. Yeah, that's what it says. And then if you go over there in Isaiah 14, where the only place in Scripture where the devil, before he fell, he's called Lucifer. And all you rock and roll groups, country, rap, all of them know that. It's on their album jackets. They all sing about. It's funny to me. I was a lost man for 21 years. You know, the only thing that I've been in 6 or 7 foreign countries in the military. In their own language, they all cuss to God the Bible. Wow. It's either JC, Jesus Christ, with a curse word, or it's GD, you know, God, and then they use the other word. You don't see him cuss at Buddha.
Right.
You don't see him cuss Confucius.
Right.
You don't see him cuss Muhammad. You don't see him cuss the Pope. Y'all listening to me?
Yes,
now, why is that? Why is it that this world that don't go to church cusses the God that's in that book you got on your lap?
Right.
Well, that's an easy answer. The devil knows which one to keep you out of hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
The devil knows which one will keep you from dying and going to hell.
Right.
The one that's real. That's the one
that
blasphemes all the time. And that's why he gets us to blaspheme God. Amen.
Right.
And so, the rock group, you don't got to have a Bible and a bunch of verses to teach you that. Just go out and look around. Open your eyes. And you'll find out that they do all that stuff. So who do they cuss? It's the same thing. It's the God of the Bible. It's not those other false gods. They won't do a thing for you, amen? And so anyhow, I don't know where I was going with that, but I'm just telling you, I know that the Isaiah 14, Lucifer, it means light bearer. And then over there in the last chapter of your Bible, Revelation, I think 22, 21, or thereabouts, right there at the caboose of that book, it talks about Jesus Christ being the bright morning star. Well, over there in his new Bibles, they change Isaiah 14. The only place he's called Lucifer, they take his name completely out of the context and put the morning star or the morning. And so now Jesus Christ, the day star, he's called that in another place in Scripture. He's got the same name as Jesus Christ in the new Bible. Go check it out. That's what the Mormons teach, that Jesus Christ and God were brothers. Amen. Again, how can we get away with that in America?
Right.
Nobody reads.
Right. That's true.
Nobody goes through the Bible anymore, cover to cover.
Yeah.
They don't read. They don't systematically read that book. They don't read it all.
Right.
People don't do it. So you got a nation of unreaders, and they're unlearned. And Paul talks about that, unlearned men. And years ago, and the old timers read all the time. They were what we call well read. Amen. And that's why those old timers, you know, they used to take that eighth grade test. That's as far as you went in this country going back a few years. You ever look that thing up? It's tough. A lot of college kids can't pass that. They've dumbed this country down.
Yes.
Every way, physically, spiritually, it's all got to do with this book. And that used to be a textbook for English language in this country. It's written on a sixth grade English reading level, amen. You know, why? Well, you say I don't like the thee, thy, thou, and thou. Then go change Shakespeare, Macbeth, and down there shacking around. Quit writing your essays about stuff that's written the same way. By the way, well, I was going to say go look at the Encyclopedia Britannica, but now it's all on CD, it's on the cell phone. You know, I got to catch up with the times. But they stopped talking that way in 1200 AD. Again, somebody's not reading. So that book was written like that on purpose.
Right, yeah.
That Elizabethan English is on purpose. It's pure, it's clean. And the language of the world is English.
Right.
You go to Japan, you're going to learn English.
Right.
that, go live somewhere else. See, now I'm really going to get in trouble, amen. If you don't love the red, white, and blue, I say you can drop dead, amen. That's what I say. You can go to China and choke on rice. That's what this preacher thinks, amen. And listen, like the president was saying, God have mercy if I get into all that. Don't even get me started. Those people got the guts. Even when Obama was president, I taught all my kids to respect the office.
Right.
I didn't give a rip for him.
Right.
But we sure didn't go around and disrespect the office. We didn't do that stuff. Right. It's a position.
That's right.
It's an honorable position.
Right.
But they got women now in Congress using four-letter words calling our president on national TV. Did you ever think this country was stupid? Low. If I could get away with it, I'd put a bar of soap in their mouth. Clean their mouth out, amen. Teach them a thing or two. Give them the rod of correction. They obviously didn't get it. And you know, he's right. If you don't like it, go back where you came from. It's good where you're living, amen. Leave our country alone, man. All right, stale for that, Rob. Okay. So let's get back to this. But yeah, I just, man, it ticks this preacher off. I can't stand that stuff, man. Stinking people ain't got no sense, dumber than dirt, dumber than a barrel of hair. And people, listen to those people. I wouldn't listen to them. They wouldn't take care of a goldfish that I won at the carnival tossing a ping pong ball. They'd kill the fish, man. They wouldn't change the water, you know. It'd be dead. And I'm telling you, I can't stand those people, man. I know they need to be one to God. That's the only thing I like about it. That's it. Other than that, no. I ain't got no time for them. Go back to the sandbox you came from and leave me alone. Amen. Anyhow, okay. So look at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Young people, you better read. You better read God's book. I tell kids all the time, you say, well, I don't agree with that. Why don't you just read it through one time and see what you find? Just one time. It's not going to kill you. You read and look at everything else, amen. And see, just try the Lord out and see if he's real or not. I promise you, you won't go through that book one time with an honest heart and God not do something for you. If you're lost, he'll show you. He'll show you what you need. He'll show you need a Savior more than you realize. People say, well, this is a joke. No, it's not a joke. It's the real thing. It's the real thing, man. I mean, I came from a product of four stepdads. My daddy was killed over in Solvent in May of 74, 28 years old. The book says the way of a transgressor is hard. And my dad met God lost, been in hell now for years. Okay? And my mom remarried, let's see, Steve, Keith Mackle, and then Robert, and then now Ben, it's been 28 years. So I'm not the product of focus on the family, amen? But I am saved. And I'm a first generation Christian, and now we're raising second generation Christians. And God willing, the test of how we've done, me and that woman, is not them, it's their kids.
Right.
And how their kids would be when they're 5 years old.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm telling you, now we're going to find out Paul told Timothy, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Then he references his mother and his grandmother. Three generations right there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's the real thing. Timothy got enough of God in him that he was carrying it down the road, three generations down the road. Amen. You read over there in Psalms, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Psalms, I think it's 73, I can't remember, it mentions four and five generations. Whatever happened to that?
Right.
You all got that here with the preacher. I'm pretty sure you all do. It's rare today. Big disconnect. Folks don't want the same God anymore. They're all running and fleeing and going to the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and they're leaving Jesus behind, amen.
Yeah,
y'all can have it. I ain't going down that road, amen. God done too much for me to walk away from him, amen. And I don't understand how people do it. And I mean, I really do my best to be hospitable, but you know, even with the kinfolk, you know, you sit there and you watch everybody. They're not really happy. And they're laughing, and you know, they seem like they're having a good time, but you look into their eyes, you look past their eyeballs, and it's empty, man. They're going from one thing to the next to try to soothe their conscience and keep their mind off of what really matters.
Yeah.
You know, amen. Yeah. And so, and then they just go through life and get older and older. Next thing you know, they run slap into God like a Mack truck on a brick wall, and it's too late. Amen. And see, people, you young people, I know what you think, because you know, I used to go down when we'd go into
where we're waiting right now, Bay Regional Juvenile Detention Center, I show up there, and they got the girls' dorm in the back, two boys, pop one and two left and right for the boys, and when we preach to them, we keep the girls in the back and the boys up front. Look at that, they got more sense than most people that I know, amen? Funny how that works.
Right.
But anyhow, we'd be preaching, I'd come in there, and the girls would be in the back watching some ungodly movie. And I'd show up and tell the officer, I said, now wait a minute, now, you want me to come in here and compete with Hollywood,
right?
You back there, they've got folks running out, nothing on, watching all this trash, feeding the minds of those young people,
right?
And you want me to get up and snort and holler, get in their face and straighten them out when you're sitting there just fighting everything against what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, hey, sure,
right. Well, that's what preachers are up against today.
Right, yeah.
The things these kids can get their hands on, the cell phone, you go to Africa in 2 seconds. You can get any flavor of trash you want off a little device.
Right.
It ain't going to help you.
Right.
It ain't going to help you at all. It's going to destroy your heart and mind. It's going to make you callous toward the things of God and callous toward everybody else. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Make you miserable. Yes, sir. Mean to people. Amen. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it, young people. I mean, you ought to listen to me if nobody else. I grew up lost. I grew up with multiple people, broken homes, and people in and out. Stepsisters 1 week and none the next and all that junk, amen. I think we moved 12 times from ninth grade to or thereabouts. We was all over the place moving from house to house. We used to live in that house right across from the elementary side, that little house right across. You come out, pull in front of Shavit, go down and come out the other side, and that little house at the four pillars. My mother rented that there senior year in high school, Mom, I don't remember. And we took in a German girl, Viola Kosh. Came and stayed with us for 6 months, an exchange student. That was before Jesus Christ. We didn't have no sense, man. I'm just telling you. I'm so glad to be saved. I just can't tell you. No, there's nothing like it, amen. I wouldn't trick nothing for my journey now. It ain't no telling where me and that woman would be if it wasn't for what God did for us 28 years ago. I've been saved 28, yeah. 28 in a few months, April the 7th, went over 28 this year. And anyhow, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Joshua chapter 24, who is God? And what'd you tell me, brother, 10:15? Okay, Joshua chapter 24. Let's look at this verse, then I'll just give you an overview. Joshua chapter 24. Look, if you will, at verse 19 and 20. I think I've got the right place where I want to be. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now he says there, he will not forgive. But keep reading. If, it's conditional, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. That's the God of John 3:16. And consume you after that he hath done you good. So he's being good to you, but then he's going to turn around. If you're going to turn your back on God and run from him, especially if you're one of his. If you're really one of his, then according to Hebrews chapter 12, you're going to pay the price. And I tell young people all the time, your best friend, you know who your best friend ought to be? Holy Ghost. Word.
book. We're talking about who is God. He's holy. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your co-pilot. Take that junk off your car, amen. He made the car. He made you. He's the owner of it all. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. As a matter of fact, he owns the hills that the cattle are standing on, amen. And I mean, it's the grace of God. We even get to breathe. People got this thing all messed up in America. God ain't your buddy, the man upstairs. You talk about utter disrespect. And it's the grace of God. Talk about he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You talk about the long-suffering of God with everything that goes on in this country day in and day out. But Christians got this weird deal about who God is. Again, I blame it. They ain't reading this book. Or they're reading a funny book or a comic book. They ain't reading God's book, amen. Because you don't come away from this book with that kind of an attitude towards God. And I know this, young people, you want to keep your high from getting busted all the time? That's if they still spank, you know. They took half of this state, whatever year that was. That was a dumb thing to do. They ought to line the government up and start whipping in Christ. We'll start right there in D.C., and then we'll go from D.C. right on down the road, amen. Beat the devil out of all of them, you know, and whip them till the smoke alarm goes off, amen, or until I feel better, amen. And, you know, this stuff's messed up. When I was right here in Jacksonville, I got whipped by Mr. Enix. You ready for this? 5 times my senior year. That little old short fella, he's still alive. He used to bend me over in his office and beat the stew out of me, amen. I didn't get to call 1-800. Hell, he's abusing me. He didn't even call Robert Borders. You know what they did do after I got whooped? He did call and say, hey, I whooped your son again. And then I got whooped when I got home, double jeopardy. Apart from it. Amen. You got to be wise as a serpent, you know. It's common sense, man. Anyhow, I got whipped here at Shack Mac all the time. You remember Mr. McNabb? You know who I'm talking about? Real tall fella? He whipped me. Mr. Bonham, you know that real nice fella that taught science? I got whipped by him. You listening? I could go down the list, amen. And I mean, you know, and so then I come back, now they can't touch the kids. Well, I want to complain because I know they need whipped. Some of y'all probably need whipped, amen. And it's just messed up, this country of ours. Again, we're getting away from the book. And just, it ain't going to help you. So we're talking about who is God, and I've got to close that. You know, I was going to tell you, there's an impassable, now listen to this. The thing about God, because he's holy, there's an impassable distance to God. You can't get to God. There's only one way to get to him. And I ain't got time to turn there, but it says, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I ain't got the time to turn to all of them. But the only way he's approachable is through the merits of another, and that's Jesus Christ. And look, if you will, quickly at, go to Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. And there's an impassable distance to God. You cannot get to God. It's impossible. And he's holy. And he's not going to come down to your level. And you better be glad he's holy. And you better be glad that Jesus Christ took upon the form of a man. And Jesus Christ didn't sin and he couldn't sin. And there's some nuts teaching now that he could have sinned if he wanted to. They've been smoking some real good dope somewhere, buddy, to be talking like that. I mean, you talk about Jesus Christ, he is God. He's not a God, he is God. He's God in human form, walk around planet Earth, amen. You ain't never going to figure that thing out, the deity of Jesus Christ, but he's God. And it's just the way it is, amen. You find him right over there in Genesis. Let us. God's talking to himself. He's talking. He's a triune being, amen. And listen, your turn over to Job. I'm going to probably just close with this. You take a football. Those folks like football. It's got a leather pig skin. That's a physical body, football. You unlace it, pull the inner tube out. That's the soul of that football. It takes on the shape of the football. You pump air into it. You know, air, a pneumatic gun. The Spirit's likened unto wind in John 4:24. Talk about you hear it and listen thereof, but you can't tempt the winds that cometh. You can't grab the wind and harness it. Well, you can't grab the Holy Ghost of God and harness him either.
Right.
But you know he's around. You'll feel him. Right. I know we're all based on feeling. Listen, it ought to make you cry. God will get you under conviction. Old time preacher be preaching to you.
get under your skin, and I'll get a hold of you, amen. My point is this, you're made of three parts. He says, I pray God, Paul said, I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said in Genesis 2, let us make man in our image. We're made in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, then you've got, man's got three parts. He's got a body, soul, and a spirit.
Right.
When we're looking at the physical body, it's nothing more than a tabernacle, a house for that soul to live in. That spirit's on the inside of that soul. And listen, so you're made of three parts. Well, if you're sitting here saved, you're two-thirds saved. Your body's not fixed yet. Your spirit's been quickened. Ephesians 2:1, you had been quickened. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And your soul's been sealed, Ephesians 1:13, until the day of redemption. But that physical body, that third part, it ain't been fixed yet. So you're going to die once, but you've been born twice. How about you folks that are saved this morning?
Amen.
You've been born physically in a hospital, and you've been born again, John 3, you'll live forever one day. But you're only going to die one time physically. But if you're sitting here lost this morning, as of right now, present tense,
right,
you've been born once. If you stay in that condition, you're going to die twice.
Right.
You say, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, Revelation chapter 20 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So you'll die physically. We'll preach your funeral. Everybody's going to cry, whatever. And then you're going to wake up in eternity outside of God. Now, hell's in the center of the earth. We ain't got time to go over the verses. The preacher Bible's in the heart of the earth. Scientists say 12,000 degrees, 13,000. That's the county jail, I tell the people, the kids. The federal penitentiary is the lake of fire. It's somewhere out there in eternity. And you read about that in chapter 20 of Revelation, where it says, heaven and earth fled away, and was found no place for them. It looks like to me, when if you die lost and God brings you up to the white throne judgment to judge you, you're going to be standing out there on air out in the universe on the mercy of God as he judges you before he throws you off in the lake of fire. You're going to die twice if you're sitting here lost. There ain't nothing to play around with.
Right.
If you say, I don't believe that. Well, how come he got a mom, dad, son? God's all, his stamp of approval is on everything. Front, middle, back. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Electrons, protons, neutrons. Everything's in three. Solid, liquid, gas. Amen.
Right.
Well, I know they've changed the family now. Now it's, you know, whatever you feel like when you wake up.
Yeah.
You want me to go down that road?
Yeah.
Probably not. I definitely haven't changed on that. Those people are weirdos.
Yeah.
That's being real nice from this preacher, I promise you. There ain't nothing of the kind. You were not born that way.
Right.
You were not born that way.
Right.
You were built that way from watching too much trash and looking and listening and seeing too much trash.
Right.
Wrong, man. It's ungodly.
Yes, sir.
It ain't a nation on planet Earth. Go look at the Library of Congress. Go home and look it up. There ain't one nation that survived that sin. And I'm sorry that we all got kinfolks that way now, but I ain't changing.
Right.
I ain't getting on that train, amen.
Right.
That stuff's ungodly. That is the tail end of a nation.
Yes.
When people give over to that kind of trash.
Right.
I got whipped in down over in Sullivan where I grew up at the elementary school, Central Elementary, by Mrs. Huff, who's still alive. Yeah, y'all know some of her nursery talk to him. I got whipped for her twice in one day for chasing girls. Tammy Tackett. I wanted to get a hold of Tammy Tackett. Boy likes girls. I didn't get whipped for chasing the boys and trying to kiss them, anyway. And listen to this. Show me a nursery. Show me a toddler, a preschool in America. I want you to find me one that's got little kids that are 1, 2, 3, and 4 that are doing that mess.
Right.
No, the girl is naturally, listen, man, you got to be dumber than a box of rocks to listen to that crap. Less than 1% of the world were listening to them. And the government's listening to them.
Right.
The girls in school, they'll carry their Bible like this. Am I telling it right? You know why you put it up against your breast? You know why? Because of babies.
Right.
God put it to protect them.
Right.
The boys carry that stuff down here.
Amen. That's right.
Or you're supposed to.
Right. Yeah.
Now they got the boys doing the other stuff. Amen.
Right.
Boys walk around limp-wristed sissies. Couldn't whip their way out of a wet paper baggie, man. Won't get no calluses on their hands unless it's from a video game. Don't know what a 22-ounce waffle head hammer is or a broom or a shovel.
Amen. Or anything else. Don't know how to sweat when it's 110 heat index outside. It's too hot. Shut up.
while, he'd stand up all night, amen, instead of going to bed like a normal human being, amen.
Crazy stuff, man. I got to shut up. I'm pastime preacher. Come on. I'm sorry. Amen. Sorry I didn't finish the lesson. But anyhow, hope it was a blessing.